John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, friends, my title for this evening, very simply, A Place in Heaven. A Place in Heaven. And we're looking at these verses that our Lord spoke to his disciples. Place in heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, don't they? Most people want to go to heaven. There are some rather foolish people, I say. I'm sure you've met some of them, who say, well, I want to go to hell. Can't believe it. I'd rather be in hell than go to heaven. And it startles us. But I think most sane people would want to go to heaven. Most people have an idea of heaven as a very happy place, a place where there is no suffering and no pain. And that's true, as we will mention in a minute, but there's a little bit more to it than that. And maybe after you hear this sermon, maybe you'll have second ideas about whether you want to go to heaven, because it may not be everything that you in your mind now conceive it to be. But the Lord here is speaking to his disciples, and they're somewhat sad. They're somewhat grieved in their hearts, because he's said to them that he's going to be going away. He's going to be leaving them. And Jesus is their friend. Jesus is the one that they followed. They left everything to follow him. They love him. And now they're going to be separated from one another. They've been with him for some 3 years close by. Well, their heart was sorrowful. They were sad to be losing their best friend. And the Lord very quickly moves. He sees their sorrow. He sees the pain maybe in their face, the grief in their hearts. And he directs these words to them, let not your heart be troubled. He moves to comfort them. They are his disciples. And friends, though this was said to the disciples, it's said to every believer. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you also need not let your heart be troubled. Yes, you will have problems in this world. Yes, you will have trouble. You cannot escape troubles in this world. They will always happen from some direction or other. But don't let your heart be troubled, because if you are a believer in Christ, your sins are forgiven. You're going to heaven. God accepts you. Christ is your friend. How can I be troubled? You have a friend that you can take all your cares and cast all your cares on and leave it with him. And you don't need to be troubled. You can be at peace in your heart, real peace deep down, because these things, your relationship with God has been sorted out. And no trouble on earth can rob you of that peace as a believer. No trouble on earth can rob you of your joy or that place in heaven. It's always there. So as a believer, you can enjoy real peace with God. But friends, I have to say this right at the beginning. These words were said to the disciples, to those who are believers. And you cannot take it to yourself and say to yourself, oh, then I can say to myself, don't be troubled. If I am not a believer, if I don't know the Lord Jesus, if I haven't given my heart to him and my life to him, these words don't apply to me. The comforts don't apply to me. I cannot take God's comfort to myself. God's promises don't apply to me. In fact, it would be good for your heart to be troubled rather than to be at peace. It would be good for you in this sense, friends, and I don't mean to wish you any evil, but it would be good for you in the sense that if you were troubled about your sin, if you were troubled about your relationship with God, if you know that things are really not right and you're not sure that you're right with God, then that should trouble you. that should disturb your peace somewhat. Oh, friends, I know that there are many things in life that trouble us, especially these days. There's the war going on in Ukraine, and that troubles people even in this land. And we have the energy prices going up, and food prices, and oil prices, and petrol. Everything seems to be going up, and it's a struggle to put food on the table for many people, a real struggle. I know that. We understand these things. We sympathize. It may be sickness has visited our home or a loved one, or we're struggling to find even a job just to make ends meet. These are the troubles in life. But still, I would say there is a greater trouble, something else that should affect us even more, and that is our relationship with God. If we are not in a right relationship with God, then God is still angry with us. That should trouble me, that God is unhappy with me and righteously angry with me, and He will judge me because of my sins, and that I'm heading for hell and eternity without God. Well, that should trouble me deeply and cause me to think things through and come to Him, that I'm unsaved, that I don't have Christ, I don't have a Savior. It's just me on my own facing God when I die. I don't have any Savior to speak for me. I don't have any Savior whose blood and merits I can plead on that day. Just myself. Oh, friends, these things should trouble me. And then the Lord goes on to say, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. This is it, friends. This is Christianity. This is what it is to be a true believer, to believe in Jesus Christ. Many people say, I believe in God, but they don't believe in Christ. Many religions say, we believe in God, or they have an idea of God, or they have their own notion of God, but they reject Christ. They belittle Christ, or they reduce Him to a prophet, or they reduce Him to a good man, or a good example, a good teacher. That's all there is. They say to it, it's more than that. Friends, to believe in Christ is not just to assent and believe maybe He is God, the Son of God, and just to assent to His teachings. It's more than that. It's me putting my trust in Him. It's me believing in Him and giving myself to Him, trusting in what He did on the cross and taking Him to be my Savior. Oh, some people say, I believe in myself. That's not going to do you any good. Not spiritually, not before God. Yes, in this life, it might be of help to you. You want to do your job well, you can say, well, I have some measure of self-confidence, that's okay. But it won't help you at all before the living God and the holy God. I believe in myself. Oh, many people that we meet in on the streets, they say this to us, I believe in God, but that's it. The devils believe in God. They're more orthodox than many of us are. But they're not saved. They're not going to be in heaven. Friends, we must come to believe in Christ Himself. And then the Lord goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, the Father's house. This is heaven. This is the Father's house is heaven. This is where God is. Heaven is the destination of all believers. But what's the Father's house like? What's heaven like? Well, we've mentioned some things, but we don't know exactly what it's like. The Bible speaks about heaven in negatives. We'll come to that in a minute, but in terms of heaven, well, I cannot give you like a brochure and show you some lovely pictures and say, look, this is what heaven is like. You cannot read reviews on the internet about heaven. No one's been there and come back and written those kind of reviews. and shown you how beautiful it is, but it is a wonderful place. There's nothing like it in this world, nothing to be compared with it. Oh, friends, you may go on a holiday, and you may go to a lovely, warm climate, away from the cold, wintry London, and you may go there for a week or two, and you may say to yourself, I wish I could stay here forever. I'm dreading going back to London. But that place, it'll also have its own faults when you stay there. But when you're in heaven, nothing like it. Nothing really to compare with it. It's an amazing place. The Bible describes heaven, as I said, in negatives. It tells us what heaven is like by telling us what's not there. What's not in heaven? Death. Death, that which is our enemy, that which causes us so much sorrow, that which we dread, our own death, our neighbor, our friend's death, our loved one's death, our children's death. We dread, we don't want to hear about these things. None of that in heaven. Life goes on forever. No sorrow. Do we not need to speak about sorrow? This world is full of sorrows. Our heart knows its own sorrow. Family griefs, troubles, so many things. No sorrow, no crying, no tears. Absence of tears, that means everyone's happy. No pain, no hospitals in heaven, no doctors. No criminal courts, no judges, because it's a holy place, a righteous place. None of these things, friends, are in heaven. It's a place that everyone would want to be, truly. It's a happy place. But it's not only a happy place and with the absence of these things. It's also a holy place. God's home, God's house is holy because God is holy. The Father is holy. And only those who are holy can get into the Father's house. I cannot in my own self get there just like that because I am unholy. I am a sinner. Not only I do bad things, my very nature is like that, a sinner. So opposite to God. God cannot let me in. I must be changed, friends, because unless I'm changed, unless I'm prepared for that home, and this is what needs to happen to each one of us, in order to get to heaven, I must be prepared in this life. I must be made holy myself through Christ, through coming to Christ. And asking him to change me and convert me and make me a new person and make me holy. I must ask him to do that. And then I can be accepted there. It's a large place, Christ tells us. In my Father's house are many mansions. There is room for everyone. There is room for all who will come to Christ. There's no limit on how many people can enter heaven. There is no limit, friends. Whoever will, let him come. If you want to come, come. Do you know what the second largest private home in the UK is? It's in Highgate Hill. And it's actually owned by a Russian oligarch. They're not so popular today. 65 rooms is all it's got. It's a big place, but it's only got 65 rooms. That's very limited. Big for us, but limited also. But no limit in heaven. There are many mansions, enough for all who would want to go there. If it were not so, the Lord said, I would have told you. I would have mentioned that you can trust me, he says to his disciples. I know these things. I've been there. I've seen it with my own eyes. Believe me. Believe me. I go, he goes on to say, to prepare a place for you. Well, how is the Lord going to do that? How is the Lord going to prepare a place for us? Is he going to prepare a room like we would prepare if we're having a guest? We tidy up the room, we buy some special food. Well, that's the idea behind this word prepare, actually. It's a picture word, and it relates to a man who's on a journey with his companions. And then he goes on ahead of his companions to their destination, and he finds a place for them to stay, and he gets the place ready. And he, when they finally arrive, he will welcome them, and he's made sure that there's food there and all the comforts that they need to have a pleasant time, a pleasant stay, where everything is prepared. That's the idea. But Lord doesn't do that physically. He's not preparing a physical room, a physical place for us. How then is he preparing a room, a place for those who will believe in him? Well, it's like this, friends. He's making preparations by going to the cross. He's making preparations by going, taking upon himself our sins. Just even this very night, the Lord would be arrested, the very night in which he said these words. He would be taken by sinful men, and he would be tried and falsely accused, and he would be sent to the cross. But that was all arranged by God, because on the cross, he would be the sins of all his people would be laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would bear them away. The penalty that they deserved fell on his shoulders. The hell that they deserved fell on him, and he bore it on their behalf so that they could be forgiven, so that God could forgive them and take them to heaven. This is the way, friends, how Christ has made, prepared a place for us. He dies, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, presenting his sacrifice to the Father. The Father receives what he has done on behalf of all those who trust in him. And a place is assured to all who receive Christ. Oh, friends, this is how Christ prepared a place. If Christ hadn't done this, there would be no heaven for anyone. There would be, if I'm good enough to go to heaven, then why need Christ? But because we are not good enough, I must have a Savior. Christ must come. Christ must die. And that's the wonderful thing that he has done for us, so undeserving as we are. Verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, friends, this is something else about heaven. This is the main thing about heaven. This is what I should have said right at the very beginning about heaven. Heaven is being where Christ is. Heaven is being where Jesus is. The very center of heaven, the center of heaven's attraction and attention, everything is centered around Christ. That where I am, there ye may be also. The disciples want to be with Christ. Believers want to be with Christ. Heaven is no heaven to them without Christ. Even though you have all the other things, if there is no Savior, the one whom they love, their best friend is not there, they don't want heaven. But he is there, and that's why it's heaven. How about you, friends? Do you want to go to heaven? Is Christ your Savior? Is Christ your best friend? Do you want a heaven with Christ? That's the thing that we should ask ourselves. Do I want to be near him? Do I want to be in his presence forever and ever? Is that the kind of picture of heaven that attracts us the most? If it's not, if we're only thinking about all the good things, and something's wrong, something's amiss with our faith, if we don't have a desire to go to heaven because Christ is there, we'd be like a fish out of water. You'd be unsuitable. There's an incompatibility between what's in heaven and what heaven is like and to what we are like. We must be changed first. Again, we say, you need to have that conversion experience in your life. You need to come to Christ, seek the Lord, find Him, have faith in Him, and He will change you. He gave His life in great love. Come to know His love. Come to know His mercy and forgiveness. Ask Him to give you a new heart, and then you'll begin to love Him in this world. If you don't love Him and desire to be with Him and aspire after Him in this life, well, it's unlikely, friends, that you will want to be with Him forever in heaven, because heaven is all about Christ. And we think about Him and speak about Him there. And then verses 4 and 5, the Lord, He sort of expects His disciples to know where He's going. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But Thomas says to Him, Lord, we don't know where You're going, and how can we know the way? Well, the Lord had told them these things previously, many times. 3 years they've been with Him, and they haven't fathomed it. Thomas and maybe a few others, maybe some had, but they hadn't really grasped it. It hadn't sunk into some of them. We don't know where You're going. What's the way to the Father? What's the way? We're lost. Well, Christ says, Christ expected them to know where He was going and how to get there. And it may be the same for some of us. Maybe we've sat in church for a long time. Maybe we sat under the preaching of the gospel for a long time, but it still hasn't sunk in for us. We're still a little bit unsure. We've heard many sermons, but if somebody asks you, what's the way to heaven? I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it's this. I think it's that. But friends, we need to know, we need to be clear how to be saved. These things are clearly outlined for us. Maybe we don't know, we don't even know that we have an immortal soul, a never-dying soul, and we never really realize it. Oh, I don't know that there is a hell to avoid. I don't know that there's a way to escape these things. Even though we may have heard these things so many times, or read about them, or come across them through a friend or in some way or another, well, the Lord helps once again and very clearly says to Thomas in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Christ is the way to God. Christ is the way to heaven. Dear friends, if I haven't said this already, if you haven't cottoned on, the way to heaven is first to be reconciled to God. That's the important thing. You must come to God. You must be at peace with Him. You must know Him first through Christ. And then that opens the door for you into heaven. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't get it wrong here. Don't make a mistake here. Don't misunderstand what Christ is saying. He's not introducing a method. Salvation is not found in a particular way of life. Oh, I'll do the best that I can. I won't harm anybody else. I have my own moral code of conduct. That's good enough for me. It's not in a particular method. Oh, I'll pray 5 times a day. I visit holy places and then I'll be saved. Or I'll go to church, even a good church. No, friends. Salvation is not in the church, even. Salvation is in Christ alone, in a person who loved us and came into this world and gave himself to die a cruel death. And we must go to him, and we must seek him and find him. We can only be reconciled to God through him. Only through Christ can I have peace with God. You cannot bypass Christ. There is only one way. All ways, they say, lead to Rome, but only one way leads to God, through Christ. And we must come to him. You cannot go on your own merits. You must depend on the Savior. Come to him. Trust in him completely. He has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can trust his words. He will give you life, spiritual life. Without it, I cannot come. I'm unholy. I need a Savior. This is what Christ is emphasizing to us today. Without him, we cannot get to God, and we cannot have a place in heaven. Oh, friends, go to him. Cry to him, this almighty, this kind Savior who came to save sinners. And he's even now, his ear is open. He's listening for any who will cry out to him. He has the power. He is willing to forgive your sins. He is willing to change you, to make you a new person, to give you life. He's willing to write your name, as it were, in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you go on holiday or you book a place in a hotel, you'd expect that when you arrive at that reception room, that reception place, and you say who you are, and they will check the books. Yes, we're expecting you, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. Are they expecting you in heaven? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Can you say that when you go there? Oh, yes, we are expecting you. You're one who has trusted in Christ. You're one who has believed in Christ. Or is there, say, sorry, we have no record of your name. We have no record of your trusting in Christ. We have no record of you repenting of your sins and turning to the Lord. Oh, you cannot come in. Go to him, friends. He has a great love for returning sinners. Again and again, we see this in the Gospels. Go to him, tell him your sins. Confess to him, Lord, I've sinned against you. I've been so foolish. I've lived such a rebellious, disobedient life. I've been so unwilling to love you, to obey you. My very nature, Lord, is so terrible, so wretched. I need your forgiveness. I just plead for mercy from you. You're a pardoning God. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, give me a new heart. I cannot do it. Change me. Lord, I'm spiritually dead. Make me alive. Grant me life. Lord, as you've done for other people, and I've heard what you've done, do the same for me. Let it be my experience too. Let me also find you. Lord, I trust in you. Save me. I give myself to you. I turn from my sins to live for you and for your glory. And Lord, when it's my turn to die, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Receive me into your kingdom. And Lord will hear your prayer. So simple, friends. Turning to the Lord and trust in him. Well, I close. A room in heaven, friends, there are many mansions in heaven, but it's only for those who are believers. Are you ready to go there? If you were to die tonight, where would you go? Where would you go? Heaven or hell? Have you had a conversion experience? The Lord invites you, I say once again, come. How can we refuse? Come to him. Humble yourself before him. All you need to do is give up your pride. All you need to do is give it up. And you gain Christ, and you gain peace with God, and you gain heaven, a place in heaven, unmerited, freely given. This is the gift of God. Take him, friends. Don't throw away your eternal happiness just for a few years of happiness, so-called, in this life. Don't throw away your immortal soul. Trust in the Lord, and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. O Lord, our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do bless and thank thee again that a way has been opened up for us to go to heaven through the merits and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to simply believe in him and turn from our sins and find him and find all these things that he has said and promised to be true even in our own experience. Bless us, we pray, each one. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen. Well, let's close by singing our final hymn, number 400, Weary of Earth and Laden with My Sin, number 400.